And okay, part two. Mother Gabriel Mary and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. And everyone can use chat now. I'm sorry that we had to restrict chat because
Okay.
mother. Hi, Sister Jacinta. How are you?
Hello. So we're living in a time where there's a lot of suffering in the world, and many people in the world fail to see the beauty of the cross and the great good that can come out of it. Because even in the worst situations in life, God does bring a greater good out of it. Even if we don't see it in this life, we'll see it in the next. And in October 8th, 1906, volume 7, our Lord tells Louisa about how the cross is to man as the rein to the horse. So how these crosses that Jesus allows in our lives, it really tames us, like how the reins tame a horse. As I was in my usual state, Blessed Jesus came for just a little and told me, "My daughter, the cross is to the creature as the rein to the horse. What would happen to the horse if man did not use the rein? It would be untamed, unrestrained, and would but go from precipice to precipice, to the point of becoming fierce and noxious to man and to itself. On the other hand, with the rein it can be conducted, it becomes tame, walks straight, serves the needs of man as a faithful friend, and stays safe from any precipice because man keeps it and protects it. Such is the cross to man. The cross tames him, restrains him, arrests the course of his hurling himself along the paths of passions which he feels within himself and which devour him like fire. So instead of raging against God and hurting himself, the cross dampens his passions, softens him, conducts him, and serves the glory of God and his own salvation. Oh, if it wasn't for the cross, which, by its mercy, divine providence holds as the rein in order to restrain man, oh, amid how many more evils would one see poor humanity lie? So whenever we encounter crosses, sufferings, trials and tribulations in life, instead of complaining, just thanking God, saying, "Thank you, Jesus, for allowing this cross or difficulty, suffering in my life. Please help me to suffer this well. Please come suffer in me." And yeah, just also you can make reparation when you suffer. For all those who don't suffer with resignation, you can say, "Jesus, in the divine will, I offer you this suffering now. United with your sufferings on the cross, in the divine will, accepting the suffering with resignation, to make reparation for those who don't suffer the crosses with resignation." And somewhere in the volumes, Jesus explains to Louisa how the cross is a treasure. And in August 11th, 1906, volume 7, Jesus tells her, "My daughter, the cross is a treasure, and the safest place in which to keep this valuable treasure is one's own soul." So Jesus allows these crosses in our lives to help tame us, to bring us closer to him. And the more we suffer with resignation, the closer we'll get to God in heaven, and the more that he'll embellish our souls. Thank you.
It's sort of like those crosses are like little quizzes that God gives us continuously in our lives, leading up to that big final examination, which we know the final examination has been taken. Hello, Sister Gloria.
Hello. My sharing today is from volume 26, and it talks about, the value of "I love you" and the divine will. And he also says that the soul is the bank of the divine will. And he also tells about the unforgettable memories in Eden. So I was continuing my round in the supreme fiat, and my little mind arriving at Eden was saying, "Adorable Majesty, I come before you to bring you my little interest of my I love you. I adore you. I glorify you. I thank you. I bless you. To give you my little interest because you have given me a heaven, a sun, an air, a sea, a flowery earth, and everything that you have created for me. You once told me that each day you want to do the accounts with me and receive the small interest of mine, so that we may always be in agreement and keep the whole creation given to me by you as little daughter of your will, safe inside the little bank of my soul. But while I was doing this, a thought told me, but how can you satisfy an interest so great? And besides, how great at all is your I love you, I adore you, I thank you. But while I was thinking this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, this was an agreement between me and you, that I would put the whole creation in the bank of your soul, and you would have to give me the interest, filling it with your I love you, I adore you, I thank you. And since I saw you hampered because of a capital so great, and fearing that you might want to reject this great gift from me, in order to encourage you to receive it, I said to you, I am content with the small interest, and we will do the accounts every day here in Eden. In this way, we will remain in agreement and always in peace. And you will not be worried that your Jesus has placed in your bank a capital so great. So when I was reading it, it really gave me consolation, because, you know, when we do our acts and rounds and always, you know, even though we read and get the knowledge, you know, still you question whether it's, you know, valuable, whether it's like divine acts. But even Luisa, she questioned here the same thing, and she was asking, you know, what is this interest, this such a small interest, could it satisfy Jesus, you know? And Jesus said that I am content with the small interest. So the value of an I love you we put in the divine will, it fills the heavens, the sun, the sea, the wind, you know, the everywhere. It extends everywhere, and it becomes more extensive than the heavens. And he said our soul is a bank, because he put the whole creation in our souls. So divine acts, you know, that we do, where we say that I love you, little I love you, I adore you, I glorify you, we put in the divine will, it becomes continuing acts. It goes on around, goes on and on for all eternity. And then Jesus continues on talking about the unforgettable memories in Eden. You know, as I was reading it, I was thinking it was as if I was looking at the ultrasound picture, like when I was still in mother's womb, or as if I was watching my baby video, because with such love that Jesus told to Luisa the story of creation and how happy he was when he created us, like he was talking as if, you know, as if like parents saying, you know, the first moment of baby, when the baby first walked, when the baby first like babbled or said papa or mama. And Jesus said that in Eden, he created man, and he poured out himself upon men. And then that's where the life of the divine fiat began in the creature. So there were so many sweet and dear memories of the acts of the Adam did. And he said it still exists still now in the Eden. So he's waiting us in Eden to receive our small interests. And it's really not us doing it, because we can't do any divine acts. And when we desire, when we entrust to Jesus, unite our desires, our will to Jesus, then he will do it. He will do it for us, and we have to invite him in all our acts, in every moment of our life. And when we remember the love of God that he had for us when he created us in Eden, and then you know, when we think back to the origin of our being, how delightful God was when he held us in his arms, then we will be overwhelmed by the thankfulness, gratitude to God.
Amen. Yeah, we're the only ones that messed up. All creation is still doing. The sun still shines. The moon still glows. The trees still blossom. We're the only ones that don't do what we're supposed to do. But that's going to change. Right, Mother?
Okay, I guess we can go on to the San Marino sisters.
Okay, let me find San Marino. I'll make sure I pin them. Oh, sorry about that. I'll highlight them. Pin sounds like such a harsh word. There we go. Hello, sisters. How are you?
Good.
Hi.
Hello, hello. So what's new? Who wants to go first?
Yeah, I try to go first. I am an adventure nun.
Good for you.
Adventure nun. Yes, also my meditation was about the cross and the cross and the Thanksgiving, in especially in adoration. The volume is volume 6, December 22, 1903, and the title is "The Cross Proms the Incarnation of Jesus in the Home of Souls and the Incarnation of the Souls in God." So it's the same meditation, and before also Sister Maddalena touched these passages, but I focus my meditation almost at the end when Jesus speak to Louise and say, having said this about the cross, the importance of the cross, he disappeared. But after a little while, he came back into the act of his passion, when he was covered with opprobriums, with ignominies, with spit. And I say to him, "Lord, teach me what I could do in order to move these opprobriums away from you and give you back honors, praises, and adorations." And he say to me, "My daughter, around my throne there is a void, and this void must be filled with the glory that creation owes me. So one who see me despised by the other creatures and honors me not only for herself, but for others, makes honors of me, for me arise again in this void. When she sees me unloved and loves me, she makes love for me arise again." So we can, in one sense, we can give life to God, simply doing reparation, acts of reparation. When she sees that I feel creatures with benefits while they are not grateful to me and do not even thank me, and she is grateful to me as if those benefits were given to her, and she thanks me, she makes the flower of gratitude and of thanksgiving arise again for me in this void. And so with all the rest that creation owes me, but denies to me with awful ingratitude. Now, since all this is an overflow of the charity of the soul, who gives me not only that what she herself owes me, but does for others what overflows from herself. Since this glory and these flowers that she sends to me into this void around my throne are the fruit of charity, they receive a tint more beautiful and more pleasing to me. We have a bad habitude to do lamentation, to judge. It's very mechanic in our mind. Probably the society teach us to do this. We are in the world called to be perfect, to be efficient. So if some person not are efficient, not are perfect, we are with the index pointed to them. Or it sometimes happens also to ourselves. We cannot be perfect. We can only go in the road of perfection, but thinking only to God. And I think we lose time to think that other people doesn't love Jesus, or for example, they don't go to mass, they don't do this. We are, especially in religions like, we are called to do reparation, and it's the most beautiful act of love that we can give to Jesus, especially in this time, because it's not, yes, we are in the beginning of the time of the new era, but we are still in the redemption. So we are working with Our Lady, with Louisa, with Jesus, to complete the fruits, the effects of the redemption, how loving Jesus under the cross or stay with him on the cross. And we, in another books, I read that if we don't love our brothers and sisters that they are in sin, we are not a true love for Jesus, because he loves everyone. If we don't love everyone, we cannot stay in divine will, because in divine will we have to love in the same way that Jesus loves other souls. He gives the life. He gives life for them, for all of us. And I try to connect this meditation also with another passages from volume one, April, no, volume two. Yes, volume two, April 16, 1899. Because the temptation is not only to judge other people, so to lament for what they don't give to Jesus, but also about us. And in these passages, Luisa explained how Jesus put her in a round. She can see how many souls are in a sinful state, especially the souls who live in the church, not because of the kind of sin, but because they should be more near to Jesus. And she say, I could see devout souls who, because of bagatelles of no importance, did not prepare well for communion. Instead of thinking of Jesus, their minds were thinking about their little disturbances, about many trifles, and this was their occupation. Jesus said to me, my daughter, how these souls prevent my grace from pouring into them, I do not look at the trifles, but at the love with which they come to me. Yet they make an exchange. They pay more attention to straws than to love. But why love destroys the straws? With many straws, love cannot increase even a tiny bit. On the contrary, it is the decreased. But what is worse about these souls is that they get so disturbed and they waste much time. They would like to spend entire hours with their confessors to tell all these trifles, but they never get down to work with a good and a courageous resolution in order to root those straws out. Yes, sometimes we live struggles, difficulties, and it's normal, it's the cross. But if we don't accept the cross, we are always in the same round with ourselves, with our people that can listen us. But we have to make a decision. I want to stay in divine will. Yes, I have to do not, we cannot stop the bad things, thinking. But we can say, yeah, there are there, but they are not important. Jesus is more important. This is the temptation that we can have on ourselves. But if we really want to accept the cross, if we really want to love Jesus, if we really want to thank him for all that he did for us, we have to start to enter in a new life, especially in the presence of the Eucharist. And there is a passage that I find from a book, I can tell you, the White Prayer book. And it's easy to find it if you have not the same book, from volume 11, October 2, 1913. And this is a prayer of Luisa. She says, Jesus, I unite with your humanity, divinity, and will. I come before you, Jesus, in the tabernacle and unite myself with your all intentions of reparation, adoration, love, praise, blessings, and thanksgiving. I take them, make them my own, and together with the power, immensity, and sanctity of your will, I repeat them for you as one, and I say to you, I adore you with your will, I love you with your will, I praise. This should be our root, in our mind, in our heart, in our blood, always. I have a bad thinking, okay, I adore you in your will, I praise you in your will, and the devil go away. Like like Sister Gemma was telling before, is only a movement of the eyes of Our Lady. It was an apparition of Our Lady of Lourdes. And Bernadette was, during the apparition, she saw also at the same moment the presence of the devil. So she was worried, and Our Lady realized that quickly. She was a very delicious, she knows all. But in that moment, Our Lady moved the pupil, and the devil ran away in the river. So we have not to be worried about these bagatelles, like Luisa called it. Yes, we can have it. There are no more important. I do rounds and acts in divine will. And it's more powerful.
Great. What you were saying about the temptations to judge or to think negatively, or and if you don't love everybody, you know, that's one of the hardest lessons that Jesus had given us in the gospel, is to love your enemies.
Yeah,
you know, and so I think it's to the extent that we're going to live in the divine will, to the extent that we are united to Christ, to the extent that we are faithful to the gospel. Faithful to what he's taught the church, you know. And even in the reparation, Sister was talking about reparation, and that is once you become a Christian, once you're baptized, I mean, you're in this body of Christ, and we're all one body, we're all one in Christ. So when we're sinning, you know, there's the people who are closer to Christ, more united to Christ, who are accepting their sufferings, who are repairing for what's lacking of the rest of the body of Christ, because there's many Christians who don't even know Christ, you know, and it's, I think, also something that we should ask ourselves too, you know, do I really know him? It's sometimes we have an idea of Jesus, but maybe we need to go a little deeper, you know what I mean? And anyway, so, you know, the reparation in the divine will is the greatest thing, because it's not, first of all, it's never us. We can't do anything. You know, it's all Jesus. It's because of Jesus, only because of Jesus. And the greatest thing is a sacrifice in the Mass. You know, that's the greatest reparation that you can offer on behalf of all souls. You know, it's Christ himself. And then we receive love. We receive love so that we can become love. We can be filled with love, and you know, just continue on this journey. And yes, okay, yes, we have this sin in us, but the love conquers all. You know, so you know, we just continue. And He gave us everything. He gave us the sacraments. You know, He gave us the church. He, you know. And so we really have nothing to fear. He gave us a mother, you know, we have nothing to fear. The temptation to fear can, you know, really, when we fall into it, you know, can lead us to sin, because, you know, we lose our trust and confidence in God. And then from there, you know, all other things kind of, I think it was Father, what was his name? Father M. That he said, the fear is the greatest. It's the activator of all your weaknesses, or something. I forgot. Father Emren.
Yeah.
Anyway, my meditation was in volume 32, and Sister Gloria had mentioned something about this, about the knowledge of the divine will, like knowing the knowledges. I won't read it all, but towards the end, Jesus tells Luisa, he said, "Now the knowledge of my divine will instruct the human volition, and she acquires science and reason, that it is not only justice to let it reign and dominate as primary life in her soul, but it is the greatest good, honor, and great glory that she can receive, that this holy volition, by dominating, arrives at giving her the state of divine royalty. Because she feels herself daughter of a great king, the royalty is also therefore her property. When the creature has arrived at comprehending all this by way of knowledges and lessons that my divine volition has made to her, everything is done. My will has conquered the human volition, and the human volition has conquered the divine will. The knowledges about it are so very necessary because they serve to dry up the bad humors and substitute them with holy humors. They are as sun that darts the human volition, and they communicate its life, its sanctity, and the ardent desires to possess the good that one knows. Therefore, be attentive to listen to its lessons and correspond to such a good. So the more we know about it, the more we realize how precious it is, the more we desire it. Peter, you've mentioned many times, you know, you have to have that ardent desire. Well, how do you get that ardent desire? First, you know, we pray to ask for it, but also knowing about it, when you realize the value of it, how precious it is, you desire it more. And also with that, you need to have a deep prayer life. You know, you have to have a relationship with him, and that the acts and rounds help with that, because you deviate from thinking about worldly things or yourself, you know, and you put your focus on God, and he rewards that, you know, your efforts. So.
And also because every time the first step is to acquire the knowledge. So we have to read, to meditate these writings, but also we can read that the more we do ups and rounds, more we receive the light for better understand what we read. So for each act, we receive more grace, more knowledge. Also Luisa, even if she had all the deposit of the knowledge, she was not able to take from this deposit. Only when she started to do acts and rounds, she was able to acquire from this deposit. So the same is for us. With the baptism, we have all. We have the presence of the Trinity in our soul. But who can say, yes, I know that the Trinity is my soul, and when I do everything, I do with them. No, the knowledge helps us to understand, and the effort to do our acts more in divine will give us the entrance in this sacred space in us.
Bravo. Yeah, bravo. You're right. It's not loving the knowledge in and of itself. It's loving what the knowledge contains. I've got four really quick bullet points here on knowledge that our Lord has shared with us. He says, quote, number one, what is not known cannot be loved. We love with the same measure by which we know. So that's, again, a reason why we want to know more. He also says, the sanctity of my volition wants to be known, but if it's unknown, how can the creature love and wish to have so saintly a life? That's from July 16th, 1922. Next one is, knowledge is the soul's eye. The soul that does not know is blind to such a benefit, to such a truth within my will. And last but not least, Jesus says, but there are no blind souls. On the contrary, every piece of knowledge grants them a greater degree of vision.
And this is the time of knowledge, because divine will already reign on earth with Jesus and Mary, but there was not knowledge. With Luisa, the mission is to spread the knowledge.
Right. Convert that knowledge into love and grow. Hello, Sister Scholastica. Yeah. Thank you, Sister Teresa.
So I know we don't have that much time yet, so I'll just be kind of quick. So I'm pretty much, really, I was just looking at the different passages about gratitude, and I'll be probably piggybacking on everyone's passages. But one thing that really struck me that I didn't think of before, but it was, we know through in the divine will, Jesus repeats things because, you know, we're humans and we need to be constantly reminded. I mean, one example is Our Lady keeps on coming back to earth, reminding us the same underlined message. Well, the same thing in divine will. We're humans. We're weak. We got limited capacities compared to God. So he reminds us certain truths, but in a different way he explains it for us to understand. But what was interesting in both volume 4 and volume 5, when he spoke of gratitude, he used the same word. He described gratitude as a key, and that really struck me. And I was thinking, now he says that the gratitude is the key to open the treasures of God. And immediately with that one sentence, that was from volume 4, September 4th, 1901. With that one sentence, I remembered two things. One was one of the parables that Jesus described the kingdom of heaven, he said was like a treasure, like a pearl or a treasure buried in a field, or that man who found a pearl, like he sold all he had to purchase the pearl. And the same thing, someone finds the treasure in a field, doesn't tell anyone, but keeps it buried that only he knows, or something like that. I mean, I know I'm butchering it, sorry. But so that was the first thing. So that occurred to me, well, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Jesus said that like two different times. And here Jesus is saying, gratitude is the key to open the treasures of God. And then that was something else. He gave Peter, St. Peter, the chief apostle, our first pope, the keys, not just one key, keys, several keys to the kingdom of heaven. So we have Jesus who's saying, gratitude is the key to open the treasures of God. So a sentence so simple, I don't know, that just struck me as very interesting. I don't know, maybe I'm speaking a lot of mumbo jumbo, but that's something that just occurred to me today, just reading that, when we're reading about gratitude. And something else is, ingratitude, Jesus has told us this many times in the divine will, how ingratitude crushes him. It like, it's one of the most painful ways we can hurt Jesus. And Saint Faustina, through the revelations of divine mercy, said the same exact thing. Our lack of trust in God hurts him, like our ingratitude hurts him. And then I was just also thinking to mind about gratitude, the importance of gratitude. We say in the divine will, every day is Christmas Day in the divine will. But if we think about it, every day is also Thanksgiving. So if you think about it, we are celebrating every day, 24/7, 365 days a year, two of the greatest holidays, in a sense, if you think about it, all about Thanksgiving and about Christmas, the time of giving. The greatest gift that God gave us was he gave us his son to become man, to suffer an unspeakable way, considering that he was God, he created us. And in order for us to give us the life of eternal life, the gift of eternal life. So I don't know, that's all I got today. But like I said, maybe it's mumbo jumbo. I don't know.
No, I understood it completely. That's perfectly said. I enjoy mumbo jumbo. I get it that way. I don't get the other stuff. But no, it was, you know, and what you said also about the treasure, you know, you remember that scripture, wherever your treasure is, there will be your heart. But knowledge is really intricate in the treasure, because again, I read an example once. If you're outside and you're digging and you find this little, what looks like a piece of glass, and it looks like a piece of glass, but it might be a jewel. So you go to get it appraised, and somebody says, that's just a piece of glass. So what will you do? You might throw it away. You might put it on your shelf. You might put it in a jar or something, right? Knowledge is limited. It's worth, well, the knowledge is very good. It's worth nothing. But then you take it to another appraiser and they say, no, this is a precious gem. This is worth $1 million. That knowledge that you've acquired on that same little round stone or piece of glass now has changed everything. Now it's worth $1 million. You're going to take precautions. You're going to put your heart there. You're going to spend every evening probably worrying about it. You're going to think about selling it. So as we increase with our knowledge, we appreciate this gift of the divine. Well, that's why every time we read a new truth, God takes us a little deeper. And again, we're just boiling over with love. It's all about thank you. It's all about I love you. And it's really very simple. I think the more we talk about it, the more we recognize the simplicity of it. We just complicate it. But someone who doesn't complicate things, Mother, I'd like to throw it back to you, perhaps for if you can give us a final prayer or some final thoughts, if you had.
Well, both. I'll do a little final thought and then a good prayer. Okay.
Thank you.
On volume 23, November 6, 1927. Just a little bit here. I wanted to say, our Lord says, you must know that every time your Jesus decides to manifest a truth, my love for it is so great that I bilocate my very life in that truth. I manifest so that each truth might have the power to form a divine life in creatures. This is why I love so much the truths I manifest, because it is my life that runs within them. And I greatly love that they become known. So when you read these volumes, you actually feel the presence of God in a very special way, because he is in these truths. His divine will is in all of these truths that we read in these beautiful books. To close with a prayer, I like to share what we've been doing. In the month of November, we've been praying the flame of love. Rosary. We do it all year.
We've been walking to the cemetery at night.
We've been walking to the cemetery at night, yes, every night for the first 8 days.
People aren't talking about you in the town yet?
People aren't speaking about you, about the town. Hey, who's that walking in the cemetery?
I'm sure they are.
Well, because you see, every time you visit a cemetery for the first 8 days of November, you get a plenary indulgence for a poor soul to get out of purgatory. So we do our rosary over there for that reason. But every day in the month of November, the whole month, every Hail Mary, Flame of Love Hail Mary, you say, takes Our Lady told Elizabeth Kindleman that 10 souls are released from purgatory for every Flame of Love Hail Mary. So, and all year, the rest of the year, every Hail Mary, Flame of Love, Hail Mary, you pray, 3 souls are released from purgatory, right? Three Hail Marys for one soul the rest of the year. But for the month of November, for every Hail Mary, you get released 10 souls from purgatory. So I want to encourage everyone to pray that a Flame of Love, Hail Mary. If you don't know what it is, you can Google Flame of Love, Hail Mary on the computer, or Elizabeth Kindleman and Flame of Love prayer, whatever way you want to do it, you could find it there. But we will pray it here as a closing prayer. Okay, we'll pray it together. And all those people out there, if you pray it with us, you're releasing 10 souls out of purgatory with every one of these Hail Marys. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners.
Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I would like to add 3 more Hail Marys for the elections that are coming on Tuesday in the United States. So let's pray 3 Hail Marys together for the right people to be elected, and that there will be no hanky-panky going on at the polls, okay? That everything will go very straight and clear and legitimate, okay? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We want to ask all of the angels, especially St. Michael, St. Raphael, St. Gabriel, all other holy angels, and all the souls in purgatory, and all the saints, to be present at every one of the polls in the U.S. so that those polls will be protected, the machines will be protected, and everything will go very smoothly and according to God's most holy divine will. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mother. We thank God above all for everything. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters, for all your incredible input. And I'm going to close with six words in volume 13, June 12th, 1921. Our blessed Lord tells us, know that your life must be the fiat. End quote. It's all said there. It's all been given. We thank you. We'll be on Radio Maria on Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern time. And every other Sunday, well, actually, it seems like every Sunday, my brothers and sisters, this last month. We thank you, Mother, for all the time and effort that you give to us. I know it's not easy to babysit us, but I'm going to allow everyone to unmute themselves and say goodbye if they'd like to, and we'll get the whole gallery of people on the screen if I can. So if anyone would like to unmute themselves and say goodbye to mother and sisters, you may do so now.
Goodbye, mother from Thibodaux, Louisiana.
Bye, brother, sisters. Thank you.
Peter, thank you. Thank you.
Fiat. Thank you, sisters.
Thank you. Goodbye from Thibodaux, Louisiana. Thank you.
Thank you for texting us.
Thank you, mother. Thank you, sister. This is from Orlando, Florida.
Thank you from Pennsylvania.
Thank you. Goodbye from Tampa, Florida.
Thank you, sisters. God bless you.
Thank you from Berlin, Germany.
Dr. Jen.